From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A beautiful sun-splashed Wednesday afternoon on along the St. John's River in downtown Jacksonville, the Hart Bridge, 70 degrees outside. We welcome you inside to Everbank Field for Jaguars.com Live. JP Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today. We'll be with you each Wednesday at 1 o'clock here on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars Facebook page. Thanks for joining us. Plenty to get to today. Here are the big three things we're going after today early in this show. Tony Boselli, our final thoughts on Big Bo not getting into the Hall of Fame this season. We'll break that down with Brian Sexton and John Osier coming up. The coaches are back in the building this week. And yes, the NFL Scouting Combine is coming up. And the big talk around town, anywhere you go, is the quarterback and the future of the position for the Jaguars. We'll break all that down coming up. First of all, Tony Boselli did not make the Hall of Fame this season. Jaguars.com, John Osier, Patrick Kavanaugh, they were in the room with Big Bo in Minneapolis. Disappointment there, but he's still excited for the future.
I promise you this, the guys who made it, I will look at that list and I'll say, you know what, they're Hall of Famers and they deserve to be there. And I'm happy for them, their families, what a great accomplishment. And we'll see what happens next year. So it'll be, you know, we got to see if we make the finals next year, be finals next year hopefully again and take another shot at it and see what happens.
Thoughts of Tony Boselli there in the hotel room. John, you were in there with him. I mean, it's obvious he was excited to maybe get that knock on the door this year. Everybody would be. Disappointed, sure, but he still knows that it's kind of out of his hands.
Right. Well, there's so many thoughts because you're in the room and you see what he goes through in terms of the emotion of waiting. And it's an unusual situation for an athlete because your whole career, everything's sort of in your control. You can prepare, you can practice, and then you wait this for him an extended period of time, and now you're waiting on a thing that almost feels like a game, but you can't prepare for it, you can't control it. I'll say this about Tony. I think based on some things that I've heard him say since then from talking to voters, the feeling I had from talking to voters, I do think he continued to gain momentum this year. And it sounds odd because, he gained momentum last year. Now he didn't make it. It felt like he was probably sixth or seventh out of five this year. That was the feeling I got from talking to voters who were very surprised from listening to the conversation in the room. They were surprised he didn't make it. So that leads me to believe that there was a lot of support for him. I think next year you're going to have three. I think it's Gonzalez and Bailey and Ed Reed. Mm-hmm. And then you've got two slots after that. No offensive lineman got in this year. There were four in the bottom five, if you will, or from 6 to 10. There's going to be a push next year to get an offensive lineman in to get that backlog sort of start flowing toward the hall. My guess is Tony will be the guy who comes out of that push. I think he makes it next year. You know, I thought that sort of last year. I feel it's stronger this year. Long way to go, but that's sort of the first gut feeling I had coming out of Minneapolis, if you will.
And I can just look forward because we've all said he deserves to be.
That's right.
We've gone through all of that. I thought this year Randy Moss and Terrell Owens were the products of the increased emphasis on the passing game over the last 20 years.
They were also a product of an increased emphasis of Twitter with the backlash at the voters. I think there's more of a feeling we got to get guys in now, but
well,
passing
but
game, yes,
so it's a new phenomenon.
But people always used to say to me, "Does Jimmy Smith have a chance at the Hall of Fame?" At one point, Jimmy was in the top 10 in terms of receptions and yardage, and I always used to say, "I don't know," because you look at guys like Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, and there's a number of receivers, and they've got to go in, right? They're the big famous playoff guys. You know, they've got to go in. He's competing with them. What I didn't think was Tony Boselli would be competing with them. I didn't think we'd see two of them go in at the expense of an offensive lineman. Now, having said that, I think when you look at his competition next year, it's Alan Faneca, the guard, Steve Hutchinson, the guard. I think it's got to be Boselli for the very reason that they put two receivers in the passing era. The left tackle became a paramount position. It wasn't sexy, but he made it that way. You know, the Monday night game where the Jason Taylor and all that. So I would think that next year is his year to get in as the offensive lineman over those two guards because in the passing era, the left tackle was more critical.
And the trick is, John, I know you talked about this as well. When it comes down to those three or four offensive linemen, that the room's not split up among the voters that support those guys. You have to have 80% of the vote swing it one way or another. If they're split up among the room, he might not get the 80%. Thing, none of those guys might get the 80%.
The Fanica thing could be tough because it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And Hutchinson made 8 Pro Bowls, et cetera. He's got, you know, 8 more chances. And I don't think it's going to take 8 more, but 8 more in the modern era, and then he would go to the seniors. We're a long way from that. But a lot of times what happens in this Hall process is they get in the room, they hear the vote, and then they vote. Or they hear the cases for the guys, and they vote. Then there's a period where they don't think about it as much. And when I say they, I mean the voters. Then late next season is when they start talking amongst themselves, when they see each other at games, when they start at the Super Bowl and the playoffs, and they start trying to figure out who they're going to vote for. The strong case for Tony has become, and for a long time, there were a bunch of different theories on why Tony should be in. Now it's gotten down to Roaf, Pace, Ogden, and Jones. All were left tackles around the time he was. Maybe he was the best of that bunch. Maybe he was. I think he was the best. Others say Ogden, et cetera. But he's in that group. There's no question if you were around the game at that point, he was at least as good as that bunch. Well, now that the longevity thing is out with Terrell Davis, it is becoming more and more unjustified, disgraceful, whatever bad word you want to use for it. For a long time, it wasn't a disgrace. For a long time, it was just an oddity because he had a short career. That was the reason he didn't get in. Once that's out the window, it becomes more and more shameful if he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, my last thought on that, and I'll say it. I saw Willie Roaf and Orlando Pace and Walter Jones and John Ogden. Saw them all. Pacelli was the best. He deserves to be in.
We'll kind of put this to rest as of right now. I'm sure we'll come back around to it. So, but maybe even tomorrow night, Jaguars Thursday Radio, Tony Pacelli.
I would put him up with Ogden and Jones, by the way. I think those three, I think, although he's clearly better than Roaf, clearly better than Pace. But again, I thought Vito Stellino had the best point about this. It's hard to say a guy was the best out of that bunch, but he sure wasn't number 5, and number 4's in.
Well, I can make the case for him being number 1, and that enough tells me.
Sure.
But
sure.
I get it. I understand. It's vanilla versus strawberry or chocolate.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
Second big point today, coaches back in the building this week. They came back on Tuesday, a lot of khaki pants walking around the hallways here at Everbank Field. After a few days off after the season, coaches are back to look back at what was in 2017, and they split their time with that and getting ready for the draft, the combine coming up in just a few weeks too. So
yeah, and that's the schedule, and I think they probably needed – the 2 weeks or whatever it was that they were off to sort of decompress from the season. At this point, they start looking ahead to the combine. The big decisions, obviously, they need to look at free agency and the draft, first free agency, and start having input on that so that they're ready. We won't hear a lot of information out of it, but that's what's going on.
Yeah, a hard look at the roster, a hard look at the guys that they have that they want to keep. And then it's up to them. Not that the coaches are setting out the free agent market, but you know, a guy like Joe DeCamillis, right? I mean, he's going to look to improve his special teams, so he's looking at linebackers, safeties, tight ends, receivers. You know, veteran free agents, he has to put his list together. That's a lot of work. The analysis part of it is going to fill up the next 2 months.
One of those position groups is the quarterback position. That's the talk of the town. Anywhere you go now, if you're out to dinner, if you're going to the store, what's going on with Blake Bortles? That's the big question right now among Jaguars fans. And I'm sure it's a conversation point over there, too, at least to get an idea of what they want to do. They've got a little time until that opening of the league year, March 14th. They've got the window of 2 days before to negotiate with possible free agents before that day opens. So when it comes down to it, we might not know anything until right before the deadline.
My guess is this plays out, you know, at some point, I think, before that, March 12th and March 14th is when they start negotiating with other agents of players from other teams. You would think that at some point before then, Brian, you'll hear something along the lines from a prominent guy who knows agents who says they're either going to make a hard push for Cousins or they're not. You hear rumblings right now. I haven't heard anything that makes me think anything either way, honestly. But then I still think the 12th and the 13th are going to be big. If they decide to make a push for a quarterback, I don't think Blake gets released before then. That two-day negotiating window, we could see a push during that time, a successful or failed push, a push either way. I don't really anticipate that, but I don't know that we'll hear much before that.
Does the Josh McDaniels thing impact your decision in terms of, hey, Chris Ballard thought he had an agreement, and in the span of about, 24 hours, he didn't? I mean, boy, what if you get one with Cousins, and then all of a sudden you wait, and you release, and then you know what I'm saying. I mean, it could be
He signs at 12:01 and you cut your quarterback at 11:59, those are a long 2 minutes.
Oh, without
yes,
a doubt.
They are.
And that's really the rub. I mean, really the rub.
Well, it's in everyone's mind now.
At some point, you have to risk it. I think the McDaniels thing is enough of an outlier where it wouldn't completely change it, but, it's at least a small roll of the dice.
I don't know how much time you've got allotted in this show to talk about this. I know you'll have it in almost every show until mm-hmm. the decision's actually made. John laid out the mechanics, so let me just lay out a scenario for you. The window's open for this team. You'd agree, right? We had this conversation
the
other day.
It's now open, yes.
We didn't know that it was open when the season began, but we know that it's open now because you look at this defense and a guy like Calais Campbell, who's going to get older, right? I mean, he played at a phenomenal level.
Unfortunately, right? We all did.
Well, yeah, and that's the objective. But you see where I'm saying. So the
window's
open.
A couple of years left with this defense together.
Well, right? Yeah, exactly. So you want to maximize that. Yeah. That's my point. So if you're going to maximize it, they have to decide right now if Blake Bortles is not just their guy for this year. Is he the guy for next year and the year after? Because you can't say, well, we'll try to maximize it this year, and then next year we'll go find a rookie and maximize it. Or maybe next year we'll find the quarterback. I think, my opinion, that you are buying in, all in on Bortles for this window this year. The quarterback situation playing out like it is. Or you're saying, he's not our guy, at which point you're going for Cousins or a rookie, mm-hmm. right? You're looking and saying, well, the draft is deep. We might get a guy. We might be able to move a guy. I think this is a really... It seems like a foregone conclusion at quarterback, but I think it's a really important decision, a big decision at quarterback, because I don't think it's just for this year. I think you're saying he's our guy for the next three.
No, it's not like a let's keep him on for a year, draft a guy, and then after next season, if it doesn't go well, promote the guy.
I mean, yeah, unless something odd happens.
Which happens. The Alex Smith trade was odd.
Or the draft. You're sitting at 29. If somebody would fall to 21 that you liked – I just look at the Derek Carr situation in Oakland.
Yeah,
he was available top of the second round. They clearly liked him. Could that be something where they trade back into the second round? I don't know. With quarterback, I know what you're saying, Brian. With quarterback, there's always – I don't think there's any set formula to get your guy. But I agree with you. The chances are if Blake's on the roster as of 12:01 March 1st, or whatever that time is, then I think he's the guy for the window. And I don't know that we know yet, based on the end of last season, if that's a bad thing.
No, I don't either, because we can talk about this ad nauseum also. Mm-hmm. When you look at what he was able to do, leaning on the running game and the defense, which I think all of us agreed before the season would be the tools he would have to lean on. Now give him an Allen Robinson, give him a tight end, if perhaps you take that in the first round, or a big-time receiver, to go opposite of that. How much better can he be? You see what I'm saying? It just seems to me that this decision on Blake isn't just for 2018. It's for the window that's open with this defense staying together. That's the way I see it. They could be thinking completely different. They could be going shooting it at the moon with a quarterback. But it just seems to me like that's a big decision they've got to make.
My gut is, I think you're right. I think Blake's the quarterback. And I'm starting to get the idea, when you look back in this offseason, the two things that might be the biggest things that happen are –
A-Rob.
Can you get A-Rob signed?
Yeah.
Because I don't know that's a given yet. I think you will. And who is the tight end that they decide is going to be that next factor? Because I think it will be a tight end. Yeah. I wonder where it's going to happen in the draft or free agency. But I think that's got to be the way that it looks next year. That tight end is going to be a difference.
There are three of them in the draft. The kid from Oklahoma, the kid from South Carolina, and the kid from South Dakota State, Goddard, mm-hmm. Dallas Goddard. There are three of them that could all fit around there, mm-hmm. and all of them look to be that Zach Ertz kind of guy. How much better is Blake Bortles with Zach Ertz type of receiver? And you watch the Super Bowl, you watch Foles, he hit the wheel routes and the short crossers.
Yeah, in big moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It makes you think that you can do it with Bortles.
A lot to talk about. We got about a month and a week before that deadline comes.
Can we just sign off until then?
Yeah, we'll
just back. Keep playing the show over and over.
Plenty to get to still on Jaguars.com Live. We'll come back with Around the League a little bit later. We'll come back, though, in just a moment, 60 seconds away, from Combine Talk. Our coverage begins in Indianapolis. This is Jaguars.com Live.
What do
you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jaguars.com Live continues coming up next. Yes, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, the NFL Scouting Combine, the last week of the month. We'll be there for Jaguars.com. JP Shabbat, Brian Sexton, John Osier. You know, it's turned into.
Is that Josh McDaniels
huge,
I saw there?
It might have been.
No, I think it was. Thank you.
He might be there, but in a different capacity. It's a huge part of the offseason calendar now in the National Football League, whereas 15, 20 years ago, it was a blip on the radar. I mean, three media people went, and that's it. Pete Prisco would pull Tom Coughlin off on the sidewalk and talk to him. Mm-hmm. Now there's a huge media center and Radio Row and a fan experience, and there's days and days of interviews and hotel rooms, and it's over the top now.
I can
lay back.
I'm going to say what I have to say and then you guys talk about this, because I've never gone and truthfully don't really want to go. Here's the thing you need to know. Last year was the first time I paid attention to it at all, and I watched one segment when Leonard Fournette ran the 40, followed by Dalvin Cook. And I just wanted to see that sort. Other than that, from the combine to the actual draft, I find there's more value in the pro days, right? More meat to it. But that's just me. The rest of it's on you guys.
Well, I once in 2001 interviewed Tom on the doorstep of the Catholic Church right before he went into Mass.
Which Catholic Church? There's three of them around there.
I
was curious if you knew.
It's the Catholic Church across from the RCA.
They're
that's
all the
only
same.
Way I know it. Yeah. And he, before going into Mass, he admonished me for breaking down the entire Jaguars salary cap in the paper that week. So it was a fun conversation. He was great about stopping. But I like it for this reason. It, along with the years we've gone to the Senior Bowl, it gives you a chance to get there to – I guess listen to the guys on the podium is the part that I like the best. I like to take seven or eight guys, either top guys, guys I think the Jaguars might draft, and listen to them while they're on the podium. You can sometimes get a small feel for a player. For some guys, it's the only chance you'll have really in their career to be around them and observe them up close. It's only for 5 minutes. But like with a guy like Joey Bosa, I remember sitting there watching him, and I kind of liked his attitude on the podium. He was kind of the laid-back guy. I kind of laughed, said, I'd cover this guy. But there's certain guys you hear. I remember listening to Troy Polamalu back in 02, 03, whatever, and thinking this guy's going to figure out a way to be a star.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're wrong, sometimes you're right. But that's what I like out of it. As far as the drills, as far as things like that, it's all great. You can be there. JP, we've been there. You talk to other media. You get a general – it's a good place for media people to start and getting a real feel for what's going to be happening in the next 7 or 8 weeks. And fans seem to like watching the events.
Do you know another reason why I don't need to go? Because I just read your stories. And it all just comes shining through there.
Yeah.
I hear it.
Our coverage on Jaguars.com begins February 28th. In fact,
shameless promotion.
We'll be at next door to Lucas Oil Stadium in the Convention Center. That's where Media Center is and the fan experience. We'll have live shows from Media Row with special guests. The Jaguars brass live at the podium on Wednesday. We're hearing both will be on Wednesday, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. That's all coming up.
I'll be watching.
On Jaguars.com.
And that's probably the best part of it, JP. The days that your guys talk, which is something we didn't really mention in the first segment. Mm-hmm. In the old days, 02, 03, 04, you know, by the times I started covering the combine, there was not an emphasis on the coaches and GMs talking. It was all grab your guys or we'll get guys on the podium. Now it has become a place where for a lot of teams, for this team, where it's the first time coaches and GMs have really talked about the issues that are going to be taking place. It'll be a place probably the first time our people have made public comments on Bortles, on those things. I doubt we'll get very much of a sense, but it's the first time they will have spoken about those topics. So in that sense, it is a kickoff to the NFL news cycle for the 2018 season.
They kind of set the tone moving ahead in the offseason. When we return, our look around the National Football League. A lot of news in the division today up in Indianapolis. This is Jaguars.com Live.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jaguars.com Live rolls along. JT Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier on a Wednesday. We'll be with you each Wednesday, 1 o'clock in the offseason. Let's go around the National Football League, and we start in Indianapolis. Well, we actually start in Foxborough. That's where Josh McDaniels went to clean out his office after accepting the Indianapolis Colts head coaching job. But then the Patriots brass decided to keep him and talked him into staying and backing out of the Indianapolis gig. We saw the press conference today of Chris Ballard in Indianapolis. He says the rivalry is back on between the Colts and the Pats.
Well, we'll see about that part. You just don't see this. It's something that's generally not done in football circles, mainly because of the element of three coaches were already in place. And that's why, you know, that's a staggering thing within the coaching community to say you're taking a job. I don't care if it's agreed to terms, if it's signed, whatever, and have other people come and change their lives and be there. That's the one that I think he'll have a hard time, meaning McDaniels, getting past. Because, Brian, you've been doing this a long time. I saw Tony Dungy tweet out, and as strong as I've ever seen Tony say or tweet anything, say it's inexcusable. Yeah. And that is what, you know, I'm sure Josh McDaniels, I think he'll wind up being the coach of the Patriots, it sounds
Patriot
like.
For life.
And that's great. But, boy, those wounds within the coaching community, like, I get that our fans don't care about that much. But within the context of that, that's a big thing. It's an unusual thing, and it ain't a good thing.
Think, and you probably have been in the situation, and I'm sure viewers have been in the situation, where you've made a decision, you've made a commitment to go do something, and then something changes, and you have to pick up the phone and call. Mm-hmm. You kind of get that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach where you call and say, hey, things have changed, you know, my wife, my job, whatever. Can you imagine that phone call?
I guess he didn't do it from what you see.
All right.
What?
He went up there and made a call to the GM, said, hey, I'm out.
Right, but he didn't even call the coaches.
Right.
Oh,
like
no.
The coaches he left
no,
behind.
No, no,
right.
No, I'm saying.
Right.
Just,
I see what you're saying, right.
But
I got
I mean,
you.
I can't
you.
Imagine. Yeah, I'm playing off of what you're saying. I can't imagine, especially knowing that I'd agreed to it, that they had waited for me, that they had hired three coaches. I can't imagine it. Is the lure or the attachment to the Belichick, Kraft, Brady
right.
thing. I mean, they were able to convince him to pass on a job as a head coach in the NFL for a raise to be the offensive coordinator. And, you know, they can't promise him that he's the coach in waiting because of the Rooney Rule.
That's right.
They can't
true.
Put that in writing.
Right.
Because then you're violating the spirit of the Rooney Rule. So he's doing it on a, hey, you know, we might, right? Who knows? The rules don't always seem to matter in New England, as we all know. It just seems to me that gosh, I wouldn't want to do business with people that come from there. If I were any other owner anymore, I'd look at that and go, you know, not for me. Thanks.
It's quite the unusual story.
The Detroit Lions are doing business with a former New England Patriots coordinator, Matt Patricia. Officially,
are we sure?
Named,
is he still there?
He's there. He's there in the building today. He trimmed the beard and everything. Matt Patricia is the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And so that was going to be both coordinators gone in New England. Now, of course, it's only one. Around the division, speaking of Indianapolis a moment ago, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson back to running on an anti-gravity treadmill as part of the rehab for the ACL tear. And then, of course, with the changes in Tennessee, Vrabel is now the head coach there. The whole rest of the division now in the AFC South coming up next year, guys, is improved or changed or kind of trending up.
It was going to have a really strong Belichick feel to it if McDaniels took the job. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bill O'Brien's a guy. And Vrabel won 3 Super Bowl rings with Tom Brady in that. All of a sudden now, it appears that that's diminished.
It feels like it could be trending up. I don't think we know, frankly. I mean, the Colts, I don't know until they get a head coach, and really until you find out about Andrew Luck's shoulder.
Yeah, that's it.
I think they're the great unknown. You know, if you're handicapping all this, you put a big question mark until you find out if Luck's returning. Tennessee, with a new head coach, I don't doubt that they'll be better defensively under Vrabel. I do wonder.
Is Mariota getting better?
Right, and that's what you don't know.
That's the sideways zero that you see.
Right,
you know?
So you wonder. And then the Texans, you know, is J.J. Watt going to ever be J.J. Watt again? I don't think we know that right now. And the million-dollar question on Deshaun Watson to me is a mobile quarterback who does depend somewhat on agility in the pocket to escape. How will a torn ACL affect that element of his game, and does he still have the ability, once that's there, to get past that second wave thing? And by second wave, the pitcher's going through the order. Teams will study him based on the short window they had last year, and they'll defense him differently. Will he get through that, and will he get through the ACL? That's the big question that Watson has to answer. I think he's going to be really good, but that's the great unknown that you sometimes get with young quarterbacks.
Okay, 2 thoughts. One is that was a November ACL tear.
Yes.
So the surgery didn't come till late November, almost December. Remember that it's still a long window. In fact, it's really still a 2-year injury. You can get a guy back on the field and he can compete, but it's the year after, and that's still the case.
We saw Dante Fowler here.
Without a doubt.
For a quarterback, it's not usually a 2-year injury unless he's a mobility-based quarterback, which he is. So that's what makes you wonder.
And also brings us to the fact that Allen Robinson, you know, injured, had the surgery right there when we were in Houston, yeah. And is back at it and running and jumping and doing some things. And that's really, if Blake is the number one storyline, mm-hmm. this is 1B, because if you don't get this kind of a talent on the field, it looks like he's going to be there. Now, can you get him signed?
Yeah, I think a big deal for, I mean.
Really big story.
And that becomes the big story of the offseason. How do they get that done? Because if they don't get Allen Robinson done, and I think they will, but if they don't, then all of a sudden you're talking about reconstructing the entire receiving core. I don't think you go into next season with Westbrook and Cole as your main guys. When now you get, that means you have to do what? You have to go get a main guy. Mm-hmm. That's tough. So I think they got to get Robinson back.
He's the main guy. He's in the building right now. Try to keep him in the building. That'll do it for Jaguars.com Live today. Well done, guys. Hey, we're off and running in the offseason.
Here we go. Here we go. Off season.
Here we go. Yes, we are going. Tomorrow night, Jaguars Thursday Radio on 1010XL, Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jags Social. Next week, Jags Drive Time on Tuesday mornings.
And that's the show with Ashlyn Sullivan. We describe it that way because otherwise you think it's just us two.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're fine, but when we add her, she's the rose to the thorn, so people like to see her.
She might be on more, actually. Yeah. Get ready for more Ashlyn Sullivan. And we'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live.